President Obama has described his landmark visit to Havana as an historic opportunity. Addressing staff at the U.S. Embassy at the start of a three-day trip, Mr. Obama said he hoped future generations would see such a visit as entirely natural.
This is a historic visit, and it's a historic opportunity to engage directly with the Cuban people and to forge new agreements and commercial deals, to build new ties between our two peoples, and for me to lay out my vision for a future that's brighter than our past.
Mr. Obama is the first sitting U.S. president to set foot on Cuban soil in 88 years. Will Grant was at the airport in Havana when he arrived.
Just as President Obama arrives, the heavens open, but it's going to take more than a little rain to dampen the expectation, dampen the spirits of the Cuban people who are desperate to see him on Cuban soil. And with that, President Obama emerges from Air Force One with Michelle at his side, under an umbrella, behind him, his daughters, Sasha and Melia, who've come. This is a family trip too, but of course, one of the most historic visits that he will make as president, one of the most important moments in the U.S.-Cuba relationship.
The president and his family have toured the capital's old town, where only a few hundred people turned out to greet him. Mr. Obama also visited Havana's Baroque Cathedral, where he was greeted by the archbishop, who helped facilitate secret U.S.-Cuba talks in 2014. Mr. Obama will meet the Cuban president, Raul Castro, on Monday for talks the two leaders say will include trade and political reform. From Havana, Barbara Plett-Usher has more on the Cuban government's perspective on the visit.
On the one hand, they have made clear they want to be opening up to the U.S. They want this relationship to be restored. They would like to see the embargo fully lifted, which is not the case because Congress has to do that, but they have clearly made a decision to move in this direction. But on the other hand, the United States is an historic enemy. There is a lot of suspicion of its actions. It has in the past tried to topple the government, tried to undermine the government. And in fact, the government here has kind of defined its legitimacy in opposition to the U.S.
The Turkish authorities have postponed a match between Istanbul's two main football teams for security reasons, a day after the city was hit by a suicide bomb attack. Fans of Galatasaray and Fenerbahce, who were beginning to fill the stadium, booed when the decision was announced. Officials say Saturday's bombing, which killed four people, was carried out by a Turkish national with links to the Islamic State group. Aviation crash investigators in Russia say the two flight recorders recovered from the airliner, which crashed while landing at the southern city of Rostov-on-Don on Saturday, are badly damaged. Officials said it wasn't immediately clear what information could be gleaned from them. You're listening to the latest world news from the BBC. The Belgian Foreign Minister, Didier Reynders, has said at least 30 people in Belgium and France were involved in the terror attacks in Paris last November, and he's sure there could be more. His remarks echo those of the French President, François Hollande, who said the jihadist network was much larger than originally suspected. The Belgian authorities say they're taking seriously claims by the detained suspect, Salah Abdeslam, that he was planning more attacks. Mr. Reynders said weapons had been seized during the operation to arrest him.
The first comments coming from Salah Abdeslam was yesterday that he wanted to go to the Stade de France in Paris, and it was to be a suicide bombing, but he stopped. We don't know why, but he stopped. And the next informations are that he was ready to restart something from Brussels.
Police have fired tear gas at opposition supporters in Congo Brazzaville after the close of voting in the presidential election. Opposition groups are reported to have been denied access to the counting of ballots. The vote is expected to give Denis Sassou Nguesso a further 7 years in office. Hundreds of Israelis of Ethiopian origin have held a protest against the recent cancellation of government plans to allow thousands of Ethiopians to migrate to Israel. The protesters reached the office of the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, chanting, "Stop the discrimination, stop the racism." Last year, the cabinet approved a plan to allow the migration of some 9,000 Ethiopians, who are the descendants of Ethiopian Jews who converted to Christianity. Hundreds of migrants have continued to arrive in Greece, despite a new agreement between the European Union and Turkey designed to discourage them from crossing the Aegean Sea. A Greek official said the number of arrivals in the past 24 hours reached almost 900 people. At least two children are known to have drowned. BBC World Service News.